for the form, the nomination form, actually submitted. So that reduced, you know, the number of aspirants. Of course, you remember that, you know, once the Minister of State for Education, Nwajuba, announced his resignation, Mr. President also, you know, asked the rest of them contesting, you know, where are the other resignations? And, you know, as the president, if people say he's a gangster, you know, he quickly organized a valedictory session, you know, for those who were contesting. So even if you were having doubts about whether you were going or not, you know, the valedictory session was very clear. And I think that that made a lot of them to really think about it. Do you want to go into a race you're not sure about winning, or would you rather spend your last year as a minister and be productive as a minister? So the race is tighter now.
But those
who submitted, we now know.
That's a 100 million naira gamble, isn't it?
No, but we start this to listen, Uncle JD. Listen.
Yes.
It is not a gamble. When you pay 100 million to any political party for a nomination and expression of interest form, it is an investment. That party will notice you. On the day that they are going into the room where they are sharing positions, that 100 million bought you the ticket to enter that room. So, yes, risk nothing, risk everything. It is a risk, but it's an investment. Nobody in that party will not notice you after you drop the 100 million for that form. You will automatically be elevated, you know, in that party. So to us ordinary mortals, we look at the 100 million and we're shaking, you know. It's a lot of money. But to those who desire something, and everyone wants something, not everyone who bought the form was really thinking they would be president. Not everyone who bought the form was really thinking they would be president. It puts you in a good place. You can become minister in the next dispensation. It means you brought value.
Yes.
Whoever emerges, you will be called to the table. A political party always needs money. And don't forget, this is not the days of the action group where members had this, you know, this card and you were all paying.
Yes, you were paying, yes.
There's nothing like that. So every political party needs money. Elections cost money. By-elections cost money. So when you bring 100 million, you better believe me that your party will notice you and they will elevate you because you are now a veritable source of income for that party.
Okay, so that explains the likes of Ngige and so on and so forth, who quickly withdrew that. Are we through and done with Emefiele? He withdrew his suit. I saw in the papers that he withdrew the lawsuit. So I think he's back to work.
The CBN governor,
yes.
He's one of those who didn't return his form.
His form.
Yes. So,
but has he put any form of stain on his position as the CBN governor?
I didn't hear that.
Has this flip-flopping of the CBN governor in this regard put any does it put any minus on his performance as CBN governor? Remembering also that at some point he said whoever was criticizing him, whether they were foreigners or Nigerians, they could have a heart attack. He couldn't be bothered.
Yes.
That would have sent some signals to both the local and international community. I wonder what you think of that.
I think he was just trying to push the envelope. You know what I'm saying? You know, who does that? A sitting CBN governor trying to contest for presidency when it's not as if, as they say in Yoruba parlance, nobody took your hand and raised it up and said, ah, you know, come and do this thing as we used, as we tend to do.
Yes.
So I think he was just trying to push. You remember some months back, the organized private sector, we saw some people gather and say they were rooting for him, you know, without mentioning names. Some people who gathered in Lagos and they said, oh, you know, they think somebody like Emefiele, you know, would be. So he was trying to push that envelope. But the way people came back at him, how can you, you're doing policy, you're doing monetary policy, you're still there, you didn't resign, and then you're taking the form and then trying to be a bit arrogant about it. You know, everybody can be there, get out, attack, and...
Well, I don't think there was any organized private sector anything at all.
I don't think, no, in retrospect.
Yes, I don't think, from the onset.
Everybody contrives these things. Uncle JD, nobody, I think only Pastor Tunde Bakare said he bought his form with his own money.
Did he say he bought it with his own money?
He says from his own savings.
Really?
Yes. Nobody gathered to buy from him, but you know that.
Okay.
We roll here. People gather and buy the form for him. No one ever admits that they have 100 million to buy.
President Obasa just said we shouldn't vote for anybody who says that anyway. But why do you think Pastor Tunde Bakare would take 100 million of his savings? I mean, he can spend his money the way he likes. Do you think he too wants a foot in the door?
Of course. Why would you put something down if you don't really believe in it? You know you're going to get something. You may not get
what
the ultimate prize, but you will not be ignored. And now that we're not sure if this APC is really zoning to the south, we have three top northern contenders in the APC who have thrown their hats in the ring. So if it is a done deal that the APC is zoning to the south, why do we have the Senate president in there? Why do we have the governor of Kogi State in there? So, you know, maybe the southerner will still be vice president.
I see.
You can't say. So, and unless you get in there, you won't have a chance, as I said, to get into the room where positions will be shared.
I should have made you my political advisor. I would have gathered, I too have about 100 million from my own savings. I would have been able to put that. Now, I don't have that kind of money, please. Okay. We seem to be concentrating on the APC. I mean,
yes.
Because that's the more exciting one. We'll still get to the PDP. But I'd like to ask you now, from the permutations that you can see, from what's going on, can you give me 2-3 people that you would say are the front runners and the likely? We are not going to hold you to it. I'm not going to bet with you.
Yeah.
Because even the rich man that sits next to me at 7 o'clock, I wanted to place a bet to him, but he said because the LIRS is listening, he will not participate. He cannot declare his assets publicly. He refused. But so I won't lay a bet with you. As usual, he's looking at his phone. I won't put a bet with you, but who do you think are the likely three?
Well, definitely the former vice president still has a leg in.
A leg in, yes.
Yes. There's no doubt about that. They're the younger people. You see, the thing with the northern ticket and this northern politics is it goes beyond just you've been a governor, you've been a minister, you've been in the Senate. There's so much more. People don't even realize that culture plays a very important role.
Explain, please.
Yes.
How so?
How does it happen? Now, I was speaking to a senator, and he says, look, the northerners, you know, the power brokers, the elderly men who will direct the younger people how to vote, these things mean a lot. They feel very comfortable with the former Vice President Atiku Abubakar. They may not feel so comfortable with the younger guns. Because age, you know, they want to be respected. You know, they want people to come to them and do their rank. These young people, they are not sure. When you enter now, you won't take our call. You know, so definitely an article still has a way in. I'm not sure about the Peter Obi, the former governor of Anambra State. And the reason I'm saying that is because it's not zoned to the south. And power is not served a la carte. Anyone who is thinking that power will be handed over, you know, to a zone because the zone feels that they've been marginalized, got to have another thing coming. It's not going to happen. So I still foresee that a Peter Obi may end up as running mate.
I mean, more so he was at Atiku's declaration. That says a lot.
That says a lot.
Yes, that says a lot.
But he will bring a critical vote. The Southeast, majority of people from the Southeast like him. So, if Atiku is the candidate and Peter Obi is his vice, he will bring the Southeast and South-South vote.
Even he seems to be gaining a lot of attention at the very least. I don't know about popularity, but attention. Even in the Southwest amongst the young people. If you follow him on the social media.
Please don't talk about social media. We're not that advanced.
I know.
Half of the people on social media don't have PVCs.
I agree, but it is still something to go by. The other things we don't know, really. Yes. But let us just say that it's that's why I use the word attention.
Gaining attention.
In the APC, who are the three front runners? I think I asked you that originally, and you wanted to dodge it. I know you're better than I at probing, but I'm going to beat you at this game. Who are the name three? Let me do it like they say in the examination. Name three contenders, top contenders.
Okay, I will name them, but in naming them, I will tell you why I am naming them.
Go ahead.
Right. Now, we'll start with the Minister for Transport, Rotimi Amaechi.
Yes.
If we go by the fact that he is one of the top five ministers in Buhari's cabinet who get whatever they want from Mr. President in terms of funding for their ministries, I would say he's good in there. He will obviously be good to go. Favorite. He has also been voted among the ministers as the most hardworking. In the first term of Buhari, it was agreed that Amaechi was, I think, either the most or the second most hardworking minister. You know, plus, with a name like Chibuike, it is likely that he appeals to the Southeast.
Well, but having been the governor in the South-South, that kind of puts it in the balance. Let's move on. Yes.
The Southeast has just over 10,000 registered voters, and those numbers have not improved due to the fact that we've seen that registration is always hampered in the Southeast. I mean, the IPOB ongoing thing, they prevent registration. So they don't have the numbers. But if the Southeast and the South-South come together, you know, they will counter the numbers of the Southwest. So, and look, no matter how angry the South-South people are at Amechi, or like his River State people are angry that he moved the University of Transport to Dauran, the truth is, we are very tribal. At the end of the day, if he becomes the candidate, the people of Rivers will be happy for their son to be president.
That's what we call Omowani.
All will be forgiven.
Omowani Ejiosi.
Omowani. Now, let's go to the Ekiti State governor.
One
of the things that he has going for him, he has a lot of great relationships with many of these international bodies, the UNDP, the USAID, and all those people. You know, some people might argue and say the budget, the kind of money is handled in Ekiti is very small. Don't forget, among the 36 states, Ekiti is not very wealthy. You can't compare the kind of IGR in Ekiti with that of Lagos, for instance.
Okay.
However, if you remember, in his second coming, that is in 2018, within a couple of months...
Angela, please, yes. One second, please. This machine is automated, so the break is going to crop up, but hold on to your line, okay? We'll come back to you immediately after the break, so don't go away. We will take a short break, and then we'll be back, and we'll still be talking to Angela Ajetunwabi.
I am.
Okusuru. the marketing people want to extract everything. Okay, so I'm surprised with the two names you've mentioned so far.
So far, no. The third name.
Yes.
The third name. I'm putting two people together. My fear is that one of them will cancel the other out.
Wow.
And that's the former governor of Lagos State, Bola Ahmed Tinubu, and the current vice president. There's so much bad energy between their supporters. You know, and now that the Southwest elders met and said everyone had a right to contest, at least we're not hearing so much about traitor and all that nonsense anymore. But
what about this idea of the president not signing the amendment to the electoral bill? Who does it favor?
Again, it looks, when you say who does it favor,
yes,
it means that someone was benefiting from a system that was warped. Do you understand? So
yes,
if they say, for instance, statutory delegates are no longer eligible to vote in the primary,
yes,
and we know that some people have thrived in the past couple of years putting in people in positions specifically for this kind of thing.
Wow.
When you invest, you've invested in putting people in positions because you know. For instance, when you invest in putting a governor in as governor, you know that the governor is going to lead delegates to Eagle Square for the primary. So when you sign something that then removes that benefit, it's like wasted investment. All these years you've been doing this and getting away with it. And now, so, of course, in some quarters, some people feel those amendments are targeted at a certain person.
Yes.
However, having interviewed a resident electoral commissioner recently from INEC, the aim is to have almost perfect elections. Every election cycle throws up these permutations. And the Electoral Commission is not sleeping. They see that sometimes things are warped in this direction. Things are leaning in that direction, and they're doing all they can to correct those things. After all, if you sponsor people into the National Assembly and they still pass a law saying something that will not benefit somebody, it means that the majority of the people, it's what they want.
Yes.
It's what they want. You know, and thank God you mentioned the president. Anyone who thinks that this president is not interested in who his successor will be, you must be joking.
Yeah.
He has seen firsthand now how much money there is, how much work there is to do. Yet under him, we're seeing somebody stealing 80 billion, we're seeing another person, how many billion? So it's very important he pays attention to who is coming in after him. No matter how badly we think he has performed, he knows certain things that you and I do not know. He has security reports on every one of those contestants. So if you think, because remember his channel's interview where he said, yes, I have a preferred person, but I'm not going to mention him because he will be eliminated. The follow-up question didn't come. Do you mean metaphorically or literally? Eliminated from the race or eliminated from the earth?
or both.
Or both. You know, so that tells us that he has paid attention to who his successor will be.
Who do you think that favorite person is? If you don't want to mention the name, can you describe
it? We can't tell. You know why we can't tell? Everybody is, you know, bragging as if they are the anointed. But the truth is, when I interviewed Femi Adesina, no one can read the president's face. If you come, Mr. Adesina, he wants, he will take picture with you, he will look at your manifesto, he will nod his head, he will smile, he will wish you all the best. He's not showing any inkling. But that doesn't mean that the national chairman of the party has no idea.
I see.
Do you understand?
Yeah, he has to walk to the answer.
All the candidates, he's the father of all. Before the race itself starts, he will not show any favoritism. He won't like anyone to think, Baba likes that person, doesn't like me. No. But to think that he does not have somebody or he's not interested in who will come, I doubt it. He will be interested in who his successor will be. In political circles, in political language, they say, you are only as good as your successor. You can't do all this work. And then look at what happened to Obama. When you don't have a successor lined up, things can regress.
Yeah.
They can also progress, but most likely they will regress.
Okay, let's look at the PDP. So the two front runners, by your own estimation, would be Atiku and Peter Obi. What about Wike?
Now, some people like Wike, but most of the criticism of him is about his brashness.
That's the brashness.
You know?
Yes.
So, is that the kind of brashness we want to see? I look at him like, you know how the late Mugabe would go to the UN and sing all those things?
Yes.
You know, it may make us happy deep down. You know, sometimes you like someone to just say it as it is. Don't sugarcoat. But the world is not ruled that way. That's not how it works. Diplomacy is still important.
Yes.
You know, diplomacy is still important. However, saying that, that brashness, he may not take it, if he wins, he may not take it internationally. Yet, he may.
It's too risky. I think that any leader, for that matter, should be somebody who is better composed, you know, and can read situations and give appropriate answers. You can even be brash in the sense that yes, you could say things away. Obasanjo can be brash.
Yes.
But he comports himself, quite well in public.
On the global thing.
On the global thing, and I also think something mentioned something of a bit of a drinking problem. I don't know about that. I've never been there. I never even met him. But I think that also occurred somewhere along the line.
Mm.
But he won't be the first president elect that people thought had a drinking problem, if you get what I mean. And I don't think he will be the last.
No.
So from the PDP, we are looking at a likely Atiku, really.
Yes. And so, there are still others, like, you know...
what about Saraki?
Kwara State. I was just going there.
Yeah.
Saraki. If indeed we are to believe that there is a caste system in the north, that is, there is the core north, there is the middle belt north, and all that, I'm not sure where I will place Saraki.
Yeah.
Is he going to be considered as a veritable alternative by the alleged core north?
I don't think so.
I think
if anything at all, I tend to see him more as from the southwest. I don't know why, and it's not just because of his name.
Yeah,
it's not just because of his name. Even Lai Mohammed, all of them, I tend to see them more as our own people. The Kwara thingy is a very complex place. It's a very complex place to be in northern politics.
Yes,
they can make you Arewa this and Arewa that, but when it comes to
this presidency thing,
it's a different ball game.
It's a different ball game.
So we let's jump ahead and just think ahead and rub our minds for 3 minutes and say that okay, so this contest would be, because really I don't like to be hypocritical here. I know you should give everybody a fair chance and so on and so forth, but it's between the two big boys. I mean, even in the Premier League, Crystal Palace is in the Premier League, but when we are talking about Liverpool, Man U, we don't have to take the back seat.
If there's anyone who has had training for this, it's Osinbajo. He's been like an apprentice for 7 years.
Well, but people
the danger there.
Yes.
Is those who say, as VP, he didn't do anything, he was heading the economy, blah, blah, blah. They forget that the Constitution is very unkind to vice president and deputy governors. They exist at the pleasure of the chief executive.
Yes.
Okay? And so if you are saying that you cannot, if you think that Buhari didn't do well, and Osinbajo is part of that Buhari not doing well, then logically, it also means that Tinubu too is part of that not doing well. Mm. Anyone coming from the APC is part of that not doing well. So what are you coming to do differently that you couldn't tell them to do when they were there?
But you know, somewhere along the line, Tinubu was getting critical of Buhari's government.
No, that was when it became obvious that he was not going to get
the president's loud
endorsement from the president.
Mm.
He started moving away.
Does he have a chance at all?
Don't put me on this spot, Uncle JD.
That's what I'm supposed to do. You can't go away. You can't. I can imagine your brother. I know he's watching us where he is in America. I say, why Dimitri can't do this for now? Does he have a chance?
Yes, he does, because he has some people who really believe in him. But he has baggage.
Yeah, we know that. We know that.
He has baggage. You know, unless we want to just ignore. You know how we like doctrine of necessity here?
Yeah.
Yes. Unless we want to apply that and ignore the baggage.
Yeah. Ah, he has baggage.
So he has baggage, but people are rooting for him. They call him a fisher of men, because the problem with this fisher of men, and you made many people, is Obasanjo too made people.
Oh, yeah.
Obasanjo made Obiezekwesili, made El Rufai, made all those people. But
well, don't put me on the spot. Don't drag me into this. my feelings about that.
Yeah.
I don't believe it's just because of the kind of politics that we play here.
Yeah.
Look at it the other way. They also could have made you.
Yeah.
In the sense that when you got, let's say, like you said, Obasanjo got a ticket, he couldn't have been minister by himself. He needed people.
Yeah.
So this idea of, he made, we need to put it in a balance.
Yeah.
And
then don't forget, when Tinubu came in AD, if we're talking this betrayal thing, you know how they say when you are pointing to somebody, four fingers point back at you.
Yes.
You came in as AD as well. You betrayed some people. Look, ambition is something that one cannot question.
There is somebody there, top guy in the APC, if you put a gun to his head, he will tell you what happened when it was AD, and who wanted to be senator and who wanted to be governor, and who eventually became governor and who became senator. That's a story for another day. Angela, I got to go. The techers will be here any minute from now. I can't thank you enough, Angela. But the next time we'll be talking,
we'll know the candidate.
So it will then be very, very interesting.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Angela.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so now I'll open up our lines. I can just take two. You know what we'll do? We'll continue on Thursday, okay? I'll try and make some arrangement for us to continue taking your questions on Thursday and reactions. But let's take one or two now, at least for the record. Hello, good morning.
Yeah, Uncle Jimmy, morning.
Morning, sir. Who's calling?
Thank you very much. Madam, morning.
Morning.
For me, Yoruba will say, Amechi Bo. For Amechi, no.
That's your choice. That's your choice. That's his choice. I don't know. I think that was Chris. Chris, that's your choice. If you don't want it, so be it. Let me take that call, please. Hello, morning. Hello.
Hello, Uncle Jimmy. Good morning.
Morning.
Well, your guest actually spoke so well. He understands the terrain.
Yeah.
And but people must know that Amechi coming to the fray has to do with the wife of the president, who I understand was the one who brought her into the fray. So we must not neglect that fact. I must not also discountenance the importance of the woman in the home. The president may have said that the woman, the wife, is belong to that room, but we must not shy away from the fact that they also have their own relevance and also power.
Okay, thank you.
Then Oshibado himself.
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay, thank you. But also remember, sir, that Amechi was DG of the campaign, and that says a lot. He was DG of the campaign, director. So he could walk into the president anytime tea. As DG of the campaign. And I think, like Angela also then analyzed, he's done a lot of work and so on and so forth. And don't forget, he recently got a traditional title in Katsina. So these are interesting times. I'll take just one more. I think I can take one more and then we'll knock it off for the day. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Morning.
Hello, good morning.
Morning, sir.
This is Gibson calling from the island.
Yes, sir.
Yes, coming from the island. Yes, your guest really spoke well. And you also spoke well. Everybody has a chance. But what I'm saying, don't you think that they should give the Igbo chance? Because all the elections that brought the past president based on zoning, so that they will not bring Nigeria down.
Yes.
I pray they will do so. Thank you and God bless you.
Okay, thank you. What do you call it now? Power is not served a la carte. And power is not, you have to struggle to get the power and play the politics. But if people come into the political terrain and demand something as of right, don't forget that zoning is just an arrangement. It's an arrangement, for all you know, you can have a north forever, you can have south, but an arrangement. So the basically the Southeast just have to play the right politics. I would rather have an Igbo president so we can put to rest all this zoning, and after that, then it becomes an open field because they are the last of the origins. But politics is not played like that, and that's why some of us are not in politics. 5953. Can I stick in one more? It's okay. Okay, let me take one more call, then I'll be out of here. Hello, good morning. Hello? 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 Hello?
Good morning, Uncle Jimmy.
Morning.
Yes, sir. This is Dambaba.
Quickly, Dambaba, please. I'm running out of time.
Yes, sir. No matter what anybody thinks about Nwike, I think I will advise a people to try and discuss with Dambaba. Thank you.
Okay. Well, that's where we'll end it for today. I'll be back again tomorrow. Tomorrow, of course, is Wednesday. It's Dear Bumi. I'll be back tomorrow. So I'll see you all then. Bye.